Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. There are many great innovations that can save you time and money. Don't you think? You know, you could probably think of a few right now just looking around your car, your home, or wherever it might be. But are they positive? Are they good for the environment and our economy overall? Maybe part of the green economy, you know? Something some days I wonder, does it really exist at all? Maybe because we're not talking about it enough. So is there a green economy out there somewhere? And there are a number of companies probably involved in the mix of the green economy and some that exist in Manitoba. But first, I think we need to know what the green economy is. So I decided to do what most people do, right? You get on your computer system, you do a search, you know what search engine I used. I just typed in green economy definition. And it basically came up like this. It said, well, for a simple definition, it is a sustainable development using products and services that do not degrade the environment. That was pretty much the definition. So basically, I guess it has a positive impact on our environment overall and our economy, maybe on your pocketbook. Who knows? So something that we might help us reduce, reuse, or recycle could be part of a green economy. So let's just say you decide to stop driving to work every day, that big vehicle, and you decide you're going to walk or bike or take the bus. Then are you contributing to a green economy? Maybe you plan to keep your thermostat just a little bit cooler in the wintertime. We all know what that's like in Canada here. And keep your heat down so you save a little bit more money. Could that be part of a green economy? I'm not sure. Maybe there's the using of wind or solar or batteries over conventional energy that is part of the green economy, and you decide to do that for your business or for your home. When it comes to products and services for a greener economy, better use and more efficient energy, I wonder if it's getting easier. Is it becoming more affordable for business and for people every day to be more engaged? I know I have often thought it would be a good idea to have a biking, walking lifestyle, even throwing that around with my wife sometimes, and just maybe be making a little bit more greener choices. And maybe there's some greener choices we can make for our homes, possibly, and definitely for our business. So what about you? Are there things that you can do in your business or personal lives that will make you a little bit more greener, maybe save some money, save on energy, do things a little bit differently? Well, I think today on Set for Success, we're sort of going to talk about that with a chap, a CEO, a president of a company, Justin Phillips. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Richard.
Justin, you know what? I miss saying the name of your company is?
Sycamore Energy.
Sycamore Energy. I find it a fascinating name. I'm going to have to ask in a little bit why that particular name. But to get started off with, Justin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Richard, thank you very much. My name, of course, Justin Phillips. I'm the president and CEO of Sycamore Energy. And our company was started about 10 years ago in 2008 with the intent to bring solar and wind power to the masses in urban environments. We have since developed our company since 2008 to have a couple of subsidiaries called Solar Manitoba and Sycamore Electric. And we continue to grow here in Manitoba and globally. We have experimented in a lot of different areas. Early on, we did some micro wind where we had developed and designed our own small-scale wind turbine. And we are now exclusively working with within the solar industry, installing solar technology on roofs and on grounds as well. So we have quite the history when it comes to our development of our business from the time we started to now. There's been a lot of changes. But I'd be happy to talk to you about those challenges.
Yeah, as we go through. So maybe what I'll do is I'll pop back into the question regarding the name of your company. I'm always interested in how people name their company. So why Sycamore?
Sycamore, there really is no rhyme or reason, in all honesty.
Okay.
Yeah, we wanted something that was Canadiana when we were going through a branding process. When we first started the business back in 2008, we were actually a company called Global Wind Group. And as we evolved, we decided that that was too direct when we wanted to get into doing more solar. So we went through a branding change, and Sycamore is what came up. And without being too specific, because there really wasn't, a rhyme or reason, we wanted to showcase our company being a Canadian company. So the sycamore tree, or the species of sycamore, essentially, is the maple tree. So that had a little bit to do with it. But generally speaking, we thought it was just a neat a neat name. There was no rhyme or reason.
Yeah, it is sort of a neat name. And if I'm, and let me know if I'm incorrect, are you guys spelling it a little bit differently? Or
No. Okay. We are, we're spelling it the standard way.
Okay. Well, I was looking at it going, okay, maybe it's just my spelling capabilities, you know. Tell me a little bit about, so you've opened up and told us a little bit about your company and everything. But tell me a little bit about you personally.
Me personally? Well, I would consider myself an entrepreneur. A serial entrepreneur. I started a company back in 2000, a web development company back in the early days, and ran that for about 4 years, and I was successful in selling that company back in 2005. And that company really just focused on web development, graphic design, and we had some challenges at the beginning with that company trying to get into the larger scale businesses and acquiring larger business. And so we took the initiative, and I say we as a team, I own the company myself, but our team just had some challenges when it came to marketing ourselves. So we were doing a good job working with other companies in terms of developing their web presence and their graphic design and that sort of thing. But we were having challenges marketing ourselves because we were a small business startup. So the funding wasn't necessarily there to place ads in magazines and or on radio or whatever the medium may be. So we decided to take it into our own hands and develop our own small business magazine so we could afford to circulate our advertisements and other startups and small business advertisements to the masses at a reasonable cost. And Startup Manitoba magazine was launched in 2003. And that was a 30-page high-gloss magazine that focused its attention on startups and small business. And we had a lot of positive feedback. And unlike most publications, we were actually profitable in our first issue. We ran that for about 3 years, and the content on that magazine was strictly based on small business stories and challenges that startups and small business go through. And we offered subsidized advertising to startups to help other startups, including ourselves, advertise our services to the masses, to the big, you know, the big opportunities. And it was very successful. It was always a challenge running a publication when you only have one publication. So, you know, amongst many, many challenges, keeping salespeople, you know, when you're operating one publication and continuing to acquire the larger scale advertisers to help support it were challenging. So we did that for about 3 years, and that actually got sold with the company in 2005, and it didn't continue after that.
Well, so that's sort of a really good spot to give a little bit of history, because there's no doubt while you were going through with that company, setting it up and all the challenges, you probably learned a lot that you apply to your company today.
Absolutely. It's interesting. I started that company, I was, 22 or 23 years old.
Okay.
So there was quite a lot of mistakes that were made. But though, that's a good thing, because it certainly set me up for modern times in starting our business in 2008.
And the present company that you're with.
Absolutely. And
so what I think we'll do is we'll take a short break. When we come back, maybe we'll talk a bit about some of the challenges in those early years in your present organization.
Excellent.
Richard Lannon for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out today with Justin Phillips of Sycamore Energy. Hopefully I got that correct for you, Justin.
Absolutely. That's us.
Just in the first, during the break, I always love the conversations that happen during breaks. And I know that some of our listeners don't realize that we end up having this whole dialogue. And we started talking a bit about just some of the key challenges that you have in business. Maybe you could sort of speak to that a little bit, especially around the business that you're involved in now since 2008, because you got some history there now, right? You're almost 10 years. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what were some of the key challenges maybe earlier on?
Oh, there was many. When we started the business, the idea was, or the intent was to fill all of the unused rooftop real estate in urban Winnipeg with solar and wind technology.
So big idea.
Big ideas.
Right.
And
on.
That evolved, it's changed and evolved quite a bit since then. We have designed our own wind turbine through the university, work with the University of Manitoba and setting ourselves up at the Eureka Project Incubator.
Okay.
And since those times, we're now, of course, installing solar in its entirety. However, a lot of the challenges that we faced, not only finding the right people, was also funding our business. When we first started the business, we raised money through ourselves, of course, family, friends, and fools, and I think the fools are us. But in any case, we got to a point where where we had built and designed our prototype wind turbine got it to about 60 or 70% of completion. And we started running out of funds, and that was a very difficult time to try and raise funds in 2009 and 10 here in Manitoba. It's always a challenge when you're starting a business in arguably the cheapest electricity market in the world, trying to, you know, subsidize that electricity using wind. And so we tried all of these different options in terms of trying to raise money. And one of those was a stint on Dragon's Den. And after that experience, on Dragon's Den, driving back, that's actually when Sycamore Energy was brought to fruition and was born. Yes, because it was raise a white flag and or continue. And we decided that we would not be raising the white flag. We would continue being the stubborn entrepreneurs we are. And Sycamore Energy was born, and that was born out of the need to fund our own development of our wind turbine. And so as Sycamore evolved over the coming months and a business plan was put together, our company had started to sell other companies' products, and we started putting money in the bank. And we started seeing the other side of the coin, what all the investors were seeing with respect to R&D potentially being a black hole. And so we decided to shelve our wind turbine project because we were hesitant in putting our own money back into that. And decided to start putting the money that we were making back into the marketing and development of Sycamore Energy. And that really is where Sycamore evolved. And the rest is history. We have now continued just to do solar throughout the world in the Caribbean, India, Alaska. We've done some projects with the U.S. Army in Fort Riley, Kansas. And a lot of work in the last couple of years here in Manitoba since the Manitoba Hydro Solar Rebate was announced.
Oh, wow. So that's actually quite the... I'm going to call it change curve. Like there's something very significant that happened that you either had to go one way or the other way, and you've chose to embrace other products and bring them into your marketing fold.
Absolutely. As an entrepreneur, you don't give up. And so you look at every option available and you take every path that you can take until you succeed. And again, I think it's stubbornness. My wife may call it stupidness, but you go with the times and if you have a dream an idea and you believe in it that much, then you're never going to give up and you're going to continue. And that's what we did.
Earlier on, you mentioned that you started off with a big idea, solar on urban rooftops, Manitoba.
Was that pretty much it. Yeah. We just saw all this unused rooftop real estate and we just wanted to fill it.
You just wanted to fill
with
it.
Something. Really, yeah.
Is that still part of your overall mandate?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. With here in Manitoba, we've installed over a megawatt of solar, and we're committed. We have commitments from customers upwards of 5 megawatts of solar, and that's a significant amount of electricity. And when you put that into perspective, you're talking, probably 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 solar panels that are either ground mounted or mounted on roofs,
on rooftops,
and that is a significant amount of electricity that we're putting back into our energy infrastructure here in the province of Manitoba. We're a sustainable development province. We have been for 100 years. We have arguably the largest renewable energy utility in our backyard. So to brand ourselves in the province of Manitoba as a sustainable center of excellence is quite frankly, I don't like using this term, but a no-brainer. Yeah. We have all the resources here, whether it be academia, small business, startups, to develop ourselves as that center of excellence. So we're hoping, we're leading the way when it comes to this technology and installing these this type of technology here in the province.
I think you're the first person that's ever said to me that we are sustainable environment right in our backyard. Could you expand on that a little bit more just so our listeners know what you mean by that?
Absolutely. Well, we have Manitoba Hydro as a renewable energy utility. Yes. So we've been producing renewable energy since 1906, 1907.
Yeah, early days.
Exactly. We have the resources, whether it be nonprofit organizations like the IISD, and MANSEA or the Manitoba Environmental Industries Association. We have the academia at the University of Manitoba with the Alternative Village, Red River College, all of these organizations and University of Winnipeg that are all have some component of sustainability. We have a lot of startups and small business that are in the industry as well. We have a huge ag sector here in the province of Manitoba and going west, and there's an abundance of sustainable farming practices that are now being initiated here in the province. sustainable building practices. So we have all of the resources to be that center of excellence. I'm tired, like most people, of hearing that, you know, Winnipeg's cold and there's nothing to do in Winnipeg. And I just recently returned after being nominated for Solar Developer of the Year for our Fort White Alive project here in the city of Winnipeg.
Yeah, we should talk about that in another segment a bit more, but go ahead.
Oh, from the Canadian Solar and Industries Association. And not once at that conference did I hear Manitoba or Saskatchewan mentioned in a sentence. And that frustrates me because we have the best solar rebate in Canada right now. And people continue to fly over our province. So I truly believe and am supporting and leading an organization or a consortium called Synergy Manitoba to develop this province as that center of excellence, put ourselves on the map as that center of excellence.
And I think that's excellent in itself. What we're going to do, Justin, is we're going to take a short break, but I think when we come back, we can talk about that. The idea of finding hidden gems is part of my quest, so I think it'd be great to have that conversation. Set for Success, we'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Justin Phillips from Sycamore Energy. Justin, just before the break, we were talking about sustainability Manitoba. That's the way I'll phrase it. And Center of Excellence. Maybe you could branch out on that a little bit more in terms of defining it a bit more for us.
Absolutely. So the idea behind the whole sort of consortium, we'll call it, is Center of Synergy Manitoba, which is the takeoff of sustainable energy in Manitoba, is to bring attention to the province of Manitoba in this sort of general industry of sustainability. And again, whether that's building sustainable building practices, sustainable farming practices, sustainable energy, solar, hydro, we have the expertise here to develop ourselves as that center of excellence. And, you know, my vision ultimately is a student from New York or a student from India is looking to do their thesis on solar energy or on sustainable farming practices or sustainable building, whatever the case may be, sustainability of some nature, yeah. And they think of Manitoba just as Silicon Valley is thought of when you're, you know, thinking of developing an app or computer IT, that sort of thing. That's where Google is. That's where the Facebooks are of the world. That I truly believe Manitoba can be that consortium or can be that center of excellence and develop that consortium to have that brand, so to speak, and bring people here and increase our economy. You know, our company alone has seen exponential growth. It's a hockey stick style growth here in the province. You know, 2.5 years ago, we had 3 employees. We have 24 employees right now, and we're projected to have 50 by springtime 2018.
Yeah, I was reading that. Either it was on your website. I can't remember, but I was reading up on it somewhere, and it said that you're looking at needing another additional 25 people or so coming 2018.
Absolutely. Right. And that's significant, you know, with the amount of projects that we're taking on board right now. You know, when the Manitoba Hydro rebate for solar was launched a couple of years ago, there was only a couple of players in the game. And we're fortunate enough to be one of the pioneers in the industry here. And that had sparked an industry growth in itself. You know, I've seen hundreds of jobs. I've seen dozens of companies that have come to the table and entrepreneurs that are now installing solar and getting in the industry. And that's exciting. That's huge. So, you know, we know that there's an opportunity here to do that. You know, our company alone is responsible for over 5 megawatts. I project by the end of April, when the 2-year pilot project is over, we're going to be close to 12 megawatts. Industry in general in Manitoba is close to 20 megawatts of solar.
Okay, so that's quite significant. You're responsible for over 50% of the marketplace and with those kind of numbers. Did I get that right?
Yeah, roughly. Between 40.
Can we equate that somehow for our listeners? Like when you say 5 megawatts, if I was to have to write a check, I don't know if you can answer this question. If you can, it's okay. If I had to write a check personally for 5 megawatts of energy, like is there a number you can throw at that?
Yeah, it's about $15 million, between $12 and $15 million top line.
Okay.
And Manitoba Hydro certainly helps subsidize some of those costs. But put it in perspective. You know, industry, let's make an assumption that there's 15 megawatts at the end of this 2-year pilot project. That 15 megawatts would have cost Manitoba Hydro $15 million to subsidize. But that was 40% of that cost, 60% of that cost, I apologize. 60% of that cost is covered by private money.
Yeah.
We're installing on private land, relatively little government intervention when it comes to adding to the energy infrastructure in the province of Manitoba. there's a lot of the concerns that we have right now with the current dams that are being built, and we won't go down that road. That's a whole another ball of wax. Can be alleviated this way. So this is all. It's fundamentally, this is private money and private land, and we're adding to the energy infrastructure in the province of Manitoba. So if we expand that, and we extend these incentives, or we offer, you know, variety of different incentives for alternative sources of energy, it's not only building our economy, but we're adding to the energy infrastructure in the province using private money. And I think that's an absolute need right now. And not many people know, and the listeners now know.
Yeah, we're generating a whole new, I'm going to just call it a whole new revenue stream economically while contributing to a greener environment.
Absolutely.
Is that a good way to sort of summarize that?
Yeah, that's a very good way. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and what I mean by that, jobs, right? If you understand the ripple effect of money, you make a dollar, you spend 90 cents or whatever, it contributes to the economy overall. That's really actually quite exciting. I don't know if I'm going to quite get the phrase right, but you definitely talk about infrastructure and contributing to the energy infrastructure. Maybe you can describe one of the projects that I was reading about, I think on your website, Fort White, and how that sort of relates to what you're referring to.
Absolutely. That was a great project. That's exciting. That was a world record project done by Sycamore Energy. And just for the listeners, help them understand, we operate in the province of Manitoba as Solar Manitoba. So if you hear me talk about Solar Manitoba, that's how we operate. It's a subsidiary of Sycamore Energy. But our company was fortunate enough to win that project. And that project is a 57-kilowatt solar array that is installed at the entrance of the Fort White Alive property when you walk in. And that powers 50% of the hobby farm that they have there at the entrance. Okay. So that's 50% of their consumption is covered by solar over an annual basis. And that was an exciting project because from when piles were put in the ground to the time we had an inspection and it was approved and went online was 6.5 days that our guys, so we had everybody on board getting that one completed over Thanksgiving weekend here just this past October. And we were nominated recently for Solar Developer of the Year for that specific project at the Canadian Solar Industries Association.
So those are some really cool things. Do you know how Fort White came about identifying that they wanted to go with a solar option for their energy use? Do you know the backstory at all?
Yeah, the whole idea behind Fort White Alive is sustainable. View.
Yeah.
So that just added to the mix of the already, the projects that they're already working on within the property. So this was just something that Bill and Ian decided that they wanted to move forward, and the board, of course, decided that they wanted to move forward on. And my understanding is they're very, very happy with it, and we're very proud of that install, as we are with all of our installs.
Yeah, and so that just sort of lies in line with their strategic plan, strategic thinking, and their own vision.
That's right.
I guess the point, when I asked that sort of back question, I guess it sounds to me almost like, if it's what your organization's about, and it should align with what you believe in, then this is an option for you in terms of saving energy and contributing back to our full infrastructure.
Absolutely. And quite honestly, Richard, gone are the days of the early adopters. There's certainly, at the beginning, the early adopters just needed that sort of, that ball to roll over that hill to give them the incentive and the reason to go solar. We're seeing everybody installing solar now. Manitoba Hydro, when they launched this rebate in 2016, in the first 12 months expected 30 applications. We're 19 months in and there's close to 600 applications.
Wow, that's a lot. Is that both residential and commercial?
Residential, commercial, agricultural. Yes.
Agriculture. Yeah. So it's a good mix.
Very good.
Overall.
Absolutely.
I'm making reference to your website.
Yeah.
I try not to do that usually too much on the show, but I'm very visual, so I'd like to see the visuals and that. And I was checking out a video that you had and I thought was sort of really cool. And it was this guy with a house. I'm assuming a house. It could have been a company.
Yes.
And he shows the meter going one way, and then he clicks a switch and it starts rolling backwards. the weird, I got a question here. This is sort of a weird thing. It's like, is that a thing? Do you are you really giving energy back to the infrastructure?
That's the whole idea. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That was a 6-kilowatt installation done in St. Andrews, Manitoba. And it was a bright day in August of 2016. And the video that you see is about a 5-second video. It's actually about a 10-minute process, but we cut it down for the website.
Of course.
But but essentially, those are the old analog meters. And you see, I used to call it that little black mark. I always thought it was a train when I was a little boy. But you see that marker going around, and it was going quite slow. And then and in this case, it was Art, the homeowner, turned on the solar array, flicked all the disconnect switches on, turned on the array, and within about 5 minutes that it takes for the solar array to communicate with the inverters, you saw all of a sudden the meter slow down, right? And then it started to speed up and go the opposite way.
And
it was going about three or four times as fast.
It was zipping along, you know, and I think, call it a marker if you wish, but that's the kind of stuff to me makes it real. Because when you're talking about saving energy, sometimes it's a nebulous thing, right? Because you don't see it, right? But you're saving it.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because, you know, we can sit here and discuss, you know, electricity rates going up. I think we can agree that rates are going up. You know, what that percentage is the discussion point, right? Yeah. Is the debate, whether it's 3%, 7%, whatever that case may be, but it's going up.
You know what? I think what we can do is we can take a break right now. Maybe we can talk about all the things that are going up and what we can do about it.
Absolutely.
Richard Lamb,
thank you.
For Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Justin Phillips, and Justin and I have been talking about the sustainable energy sector, mostly in the solar panel space, and a little bit on wind and turbine earlier on. Just before our break, we were talking about everything going up and up and up and up. And so I wanted to sort of continue on with that dialogue just a little bit, where you see things are going and what some of the possible solutions are.
Thank you, Richard. There's no question there's challenges when it comes to, you know, rate increases and our frustration behind that. But, you know, if you look at the overall picture, I've had the opportunity to travel all over the world and see other jurisdictions where there's really high energy costs. We pay arguably the cheapest electricity in the world here in Manitoba. So seeing it going up and being spoiled when it comes to getting our bill can be frustrating. It's frustrating to me as a residential homeowner.
Oh, sure. It's very personal, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very personal.
But you know, it's inevitable. I think we can both agree that rates are going to go up. They're not going to go down. And again, as we said prior to the commercial, the discussion is how much it's going to go up. And we know that there's some, you know, we know the pub, Hydro's meeting with the pub, and Hydro has requested an increase of 7.9% year over year for the next 5 years. And, you know, that's going to be a decision that the pub makes over the coming weeks and years to come, whether those rates do go up. But what people should understand when it comes to solar is you're essentially investing in, you're hedging against future electricity increases. So you're taking your money now and you're investing into solar technology to commit yourself to producing your own electricity, essentially becoming your own utility, with Manitoba Hydro being your battery backup, so to speak, in air quotes. So the opportunity to take control of your own electricity production is essentially what you have the ability to do when you install solar technology. We're not going back to heating our house with rocks and lighting candles to see the way. We need electricity. It is what it is. So you can continue to rent your electricity from Manitoba Hydro and succumb to their electricity rate increases, or you can choose to invest in solar and control it yourself and lock in your cost per kilowatt hour over the term of the, you know, 25, 30 years of the lifespan of the panels.
Yeah. So there you go, right? I mean, that's really your options. One sounds like it's almost like reactive. The other is more proactive, mm-hmm. or maybe more partnership active. You can actually use that word, just sort of like joining in partnership with the existing infrastructure to solve your energy or provide your energy needs.
Exactly.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier on in the segment that you're a serial entrepreneur. So I couldn't help but sort of ponder that because you've been involved in a number of different business opportunities and everything. And no doubt you mentioned also about hockey stick growth. I've always loved that that sort of statement. I think people should look it up if they're not mm-hmm. familiar with it from a business perspective. I can't help but think there's challenges come along with that. What kind of challenges as a serial entrepreneur have you experienced over the years?
There is a whole list of challenges
more
I could list out.
Another show.
The challenges that we've had over the years, whether it be financial challenges or whether it be retaining the right employees to help with your growth. But personally, financially has been quite a challenge. As an entrepreneur, you believe in yourself, you believe in your ideas and what you're going to achieve moving down the road. But we've seen our exponential growth in the last couple of years, about 3 years. But prior to that, we're a 10-year-old company. There were challenges, and I've done everything from work at Home Depot to installing garage doors to selling real estate. Whatever you have to do to put food on the table and maintain the lifestyle that they're used to having is what you'll do. So, you can never give up as an entrepreneur, and you always have, if you continue to believe in yourself and move forward with your ideas and your thoughts, then I think you'll be very successful. So it's been quite the it's encouraging when I see other entrepreneurs be successful. But 99% of us don't make it. We're not all as successful as the Mark Zuckerbergs. I often use this analogy, the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, the Facebooks of the world, right? It's not an overnight success, and he may not have been an overnight success, but he's very successful right now. Most of us fail. Most of us don't make it past the first couple of years. So make sure that, make sure you have a good, really good business plan. Make sure you have, you're well funded, when you're putting together your business plan, your project details, and your business.
Yeah, it sounds like one of the things, as you're already given a little bit of a tip, is a lot of sort of strategic planning and thinking right up front goes a long way for your future success.
Yes, I got into this industry not having any idea about renewable energy or solar or wind. So it was learn as you go. I'm an entrepreneur, and I saw an opportunity, and I took advantage of it. I can say with confidence that I'm very knowledgeable, or I think I'm fairly knowledgeable. I wouldn't call myself an expert by any means. That takes a long time to become an expert. But I've certainly educated myself well over the last 10 years when it comes to this market. So there was a lot of homework that we had to do beforehand, which we may not have done in its entirety. And then there were mistakes made, and you learn from your mistakes, whether it's a business that I'm in or any business for that matter. Mistakes are good as long as you learn from them. Some of our mistakes cost us a few dollars, and that set us back a couple of years. We may have been a little premature when it came to this type of business in an energy rich province. You learn from those mistakes and you grow. And our success has not only come from our stubbornness, but also the fact that we have a really good group of employees at Sycamore Energy that are passionate about what they do and what we do as a business, and I'm proud to work with all 22 of them on a daily basis.
That's awesome. That is really, I see there's that word awesome. We were talking about words during the break. Somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Our website is of course www.sycamoreenergy.com or www.solarmanitoba.ca. Our Facebook page is quite popular, so that's www.facebook.com/solarmanitoba, or they can give us a call at 204-691-7775.
There you go. The future for Sycamore, what's the future look like for you guys?
Well, right now we're going to maintain our massive growth here in the province of Manitoba and make sure that we can install all the solar that we're selling on a timely basis for all our customers. But we are expanding back into the Caribbean. We're actively pursuing some projects down in the Caribbean and those high electricity rate islands. And we're also looking at moving west here in Canada out to Saskatchewan and Alberta.
Are you going to keep your head office in Winnipeg and that and just sort of go with regional offices? Is that what you're looking at?
No question. I would never leave the province of Manitoba. Province of Manitoba, Winnipeg is our home. We've just recently opened an office in Dauphin, Manitoba, this past summer to support the Parkland region. And I am a huge advocate of Manitoba, and I will continue to be as long as I am in business.
Right on.
Walking
right on.
around.
Right on, right on. What a show we've been having, Justin. It's been like just great talking to you about, especially renewable energy and sustainable energy. It's a great topic to get into. Can be somewhat controversial at times, but other times it makes, you know, it makes a lot of sense. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what might it be?
Don't give up. To every entrepreneur out there, don't give up. Don't let people tell you you can't achieve something. I'm living proof that if you continue to be passionate and work hard, the hard times will disappear, and will help you be encouraged to grow and be a successful entrepreneur.
Right on. I think those are great words of advice. Justin, thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Richard.
It's great. It's a great story. Great story. Listeners, thank you for tuning in also. And you know what I'm going to say? If you have a question, an idea, a thought, please send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. Believe it or not, I do actually respond. And of course, do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.